to Day FM's Last Word on Business with Capital Flow. Purchasing, refinancing, or refurbishing an investment property? Visit capitalflow.ie.
Ian Guider joins us for the Daily Business News. Ian, when we had Tana Shalee of Aradhkar with us on the programme just before 6 o'clock, I started by asking him for his reaction to the news of the major COVID outbreak at the Intel plant in Leixlip in County Kildare. Not obviously amongst the staff of Intel, but amongst the building staff who were contracted for this massive new €5 billion extension to the plant down there. This being done by BAM as the main contractor, the same people who were involved in the National Children's Hospital. What would you reckon, Ian, the reaction is going to be from Construction Industry Federation and others who must be very worried about the potential for this derailing the use of construction in the economic reopening?
Yeah, I think, Matt, you know, the construction industry have been very vocal so far this year about getting back up and running and getting the industry back up and running to full capacity as quickly as possible. You heard the warnings from the construction industry about the loss to residential output. Well, what could happen to commercial output if there are going to be delays, if there are going to be any further restrictions, Matt? Because commercial provides an awful lot of income to the industry. It provides, you know, you're looking at an industry that employs, what, about 150,000, 160,000 people. You're looking at tens of thousands of jobs, Matt, and tens of millions of euro worth of revenue. And if you've lost a good chunk of revenue this year from residential building being on hiatus for some time to come, what happens if you're going to have commercial building income down as well? So worrying times for the construction industry.
Indeed, and I think it is 70 out of a number of 1,000 people who are involved.
5,000 on that side.
Yeah. Yep. And I think the construction sector probably has done particularly well in protecting itself against COVID infections. And maybe this is something that can be managed, but it is something that I presume will read all around the country to a doubling down on protections at various sites.
Yeah, and look, I'm sure, Matt, and you've walked by building sites, I've certainly walked by them, and you have looked. That, you know, we all see, you know, builders standing around during lunch breaks and everybody's entitled to a break, and you see people close up together, or you see people early morning. I see a number of building sites that I would pass by early morning on a run, and you see people in cars together and masks not being worn, and you would think, oh, you know, are they in the same bubble? Are they just traveling together? I think the construction industry has probably done as good a job as possible. And remember, a lot of it is outdoor work. It is only the fitting out that is involved indoor. But I think, again, Matt, if there was to be even a pause of reopening some of the construction work, the industry would be very fearful. And as I said, it has pointed out to the government, the more you delay the reopening, it's costing you lost revenue because of the tens of thousands of workers, the stamp duty losses if buildings aren't sold, or if there's a delay getting them finished to be sold out. So there are economic costs here as well that have to be considered.
Okay, let's move on. There's never a stop to the twists and turns in the sagas of the Providence Resources investment in the oil project at Barry Row off the southern coast of Ireland. They have done a remarkable job of making sure over the years that no oil has been extracted. I don't know how much oil actually really is there, but it seems that they again have run out of options as to how to finance drilling and exploration there.
Yeah, so just for anybody who's not familiar with this project, there is an oil and gas field about 50 miles off the Cork coast called Barry Row. Providence have been looking to drill this field and extract the oil and gas for decades now at this stage. A few years ago, they had lined up a Chinese company to help them finance this drilling because, Matt, it will cost hundreds of millions of euro to start drilling this field. That Chinese company pulled out. It cost, I think it's fair to say, it cost Tony O'Reilly Jr. He had shown his weight behind this Chinese company, and it probably cost him his job in the company. He left the company a couple of years ago. The new chief executive, Alan Lynn, found a Norwegian company called Spot On Energy. They put together a consortium of big industry players who would be technical companies who would help extract this oil and gas. And unfortunately, Matt, today, Providence Resources announced that Spot On had withdrawn from the project, that they couldn't meet the financial conditions. What Providence are telling their shareholders is, look, potentially this field is worth to you about 560 million euro. This could extract hundreds of millions of barrels of oil over its generation of life. You're looking at 30 years as the lifespan of an oil field, that they are going to press ahead and try and find future investors. They're going to have a look around themselves and put together a consortium of technical companies, so people that are experienced in drilling, people that are experienced with oil wells, to try and come up with a plan to extract this oil and gas. And they have pointed out in the past, Matt, that we are a net importer of oil and a net importer of gas as well at times. And while we have seen an increase in renewable energy from wind farms make up a fair proportion of our electricity and power supply, that over time we need to have a security of supply, and having oil and gas at our own disposal will be a way to do it. Now, I think, Matt, the share price today falling 18% in Providence at one stage today tells you there's an awful lot of investors who are worried that there will never be production from this oil and gas field, no matter what happens. So it has been a project that has been long taking its time to get to fruition, and an awful lot of its backers out there may be nervous.
Okay, now I see a report today about Davy Stockbrokers that mortgage lending in Ireland is likely to amount to €9.5 billion this year. And yet KBC Bank is abandoning the Irish market, where it's a major mortgage player. But a good story today suggesting why it is they may be doing so, because it looks by in getting out of Ireland, they may be able to get all their money invested over the years back.
Yeah, really good story by Joe Brennan in the Irish Times today, focusing in on the capital implications for KBC pulling out of Ireland. So following the financial crisis, KBC, which is a Belgian bank, pumped about €1.4 billion into its Irish subsidiary. It has had to withhold a lot of capital against those non-performing loans and against its performing loans as well. So about €1 billion in capital has been tied up in KBC that it can now release by pulling out of Ireland. So if it sells off those loan books, it won't have to hold that capital anymore as well. Also, over the years, it has gotten back around €400 million in the form of dividends from its Irish business. So that €1.4 billion it put in over the years in capital, it can now take that out, which many other banks would have struggled. I think net-net, when Ulster Bank closes down in Ireland over the next number of years, it put in around €21 billion into its Irish business. It's unlikely to get probably even half of that money back. And we do know that the Irish government has pumped in quite a lot of money into the banking sector, into AIB, Bank of Ireland, it got its money back from, but into the black hole that was Anglo-Irish Bank or the IBRC, it's unlikely to get most of that money back. So KBC, you can understand that now, while it could wait to turn around its Irish business to try and make a profit out of it and take dividends out, in the space of a couple of months, if it can sell those loan books, release that capital back to its parent company, it could get back out in the space of, what, just over a couple of years, back all of the money it's put in and didn't think it would see the light of day again.
I see vacuum cleaner man James Dyson has moved his residency back to the UK from Singapore. Has he got a good tax deal from Boris Johnson to do that, do you think, Ian?
You mean highly successful entrepreneur and inventor James Dyson? Yes, the $20 billion wealth of James Dyson looks like it might be making its way back onshore in Britain, because despite being a very prominent backer of Brexit a number of years ago, he believed that that would free up Britain to become a great industrial and manufacturing country once again. He took himself and his company to tax residency in Singapore. Now, he did point out at the time that he was only moving a couple of employees. He wasn't moving jobs, and that it would benefit Dyson's business to have a presence in Asia. Well, it's appeared in the last couple of days that on a personal level, he has moved his own residency back to the UK. The company will still be resident in Singapore, where the tax rate is probably a lot lower than the UK. He is pointing out that, yes, there are benefits to Brexit, that he is still going to be investing in the UK and creating hundreds of jobs. And I suppose, Matt, he might have been one of those people that Boris Johnson talked to about using their knowledge and know-how to bring, I think it was medical ventilators into the UK, and that this would happen if they could ensure that employees moving from Singapore to the UK wouldn't have to pay penal tax rates of more than 40%, and that could Boris Johnson sort it out that they wouldn't pay any higher tax than if they were based in Singapore. I suppose, Matt, if you're Boris Johnson, you would say this is a very successful entrepreneur and is now bringing back his tax residency to the UK, where he will probably pay more tax in the next couple of years.
Thank you very much, Ian Guider, columnist with the Business Post, for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM. And a story breaking in the last few moments as well, that the High Court in Dublin has approved a survival plan for the troubled airline Norwegian Air. It had applied in Dublin. The airline's Oslo-based parent company and several of its Irish-registered subsidiaries had sought the protection of the Irish courts because of enormous losses run up during the COVID-19 pandemic. But that appears now that Norwegian Air has been saved. Might even throw a question to Eddie Wilson of Ryanair about that when he joins us on tomorrow's programme.
Today FM's Last Word on Business. With Capital Flow, purchasing, refinancing or refurbishing an investment property, visit capitalflow.ie.